This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just getting started, and what better way to kickstart the program than have a friend of the show, but more importantly, a friend of mine, a great dude, Coach Kelvin Sampson, joining us with that University of Houston Cougar program that is on a roll right now. We talk about the 32 straight wins at home, the fact that he's got him playing great, but let's just talk about the fact, three straight 20-win seasons, a top 25 program that now has gotten into the top 10 after the big win against Cincinnati, a team headed towards the tourney, and a guy that doesn't want to talk about any of that. He just wants to talk about their next game. Coach, as always, we appreciate the time. Always great catching up with you. How is everything?
Always good to be on with an old friend, Joe. How are you doing, my man?
We're doing good, man, and I'm really fired up about you and this team, and as much as I loved our time together with the Rockets, I knew when you headed over there to Cullen Boulevard that, you know, there was some work to be done, and that program had been struggling for a while, but I couldn't be happier for your success and just the fact that, you know, you lost to Rob Gray last year, and you didn't miss a beat, and now, you know, whether it was a controversial loss or not, your team is in the top 10 and rolling along. And I know you don't like looking at, you know, gloating in the wins and you want to stay focused. But it's good sometimes just for perspective to look back and say, when's the last time a Cougar team was in the top 10 and had this kind of success? And I give you all the credit in the world, man. This has been a hell of a run.
Well, it starts with the players, Joe. You know that. We have really good senior leadership, and Galen Robinson and Corey Davis got really good young players, and our two freshmen, Nate Hinton and Sed Alley, a good group of sophomores, Bryson Gresham, Dejan Giroux, and Fabian White. And then Chris Harris has really developed, Armani Brooks coming off the sixth man of the year in our conference, Breon Brady. You know, we have a deep team, and a lot of nights, our best player is whoever's playing good that night. You know, last year with Devin Davis and Rob Gray, those were our two go-to guys. And going into the season, we were, I wouldn't say concerned, but I was anxious to see who would step up, who had really improved in the off season, and that's where I kind of morph over into our staff. You know, Kellen and Quanis, Alvin. You know, we have a great staff. Those guys do yeoman's work and player development. And if someone would ask me what's the strength of our program, that's where I would start. Is we develop these kids. They come in as good players, and our job is to make them better and then turn them into a team. And these kids have worked hard. Winning 23 out of 24 games will get you ranked. And then if teams ahead of you lose, you kind of keep moving up. But I don't think anything's changed. I don't think anything will change as far as we're concerned. Yesterday was a mandated day off with the NCAA, so we'll go back to work today and get ready for Connecticut on Thursday.
Coach, you mentioned the 23 out of 24. Y'all are 23-1 right now, started 15-0. At what point in the season did you realize you had something special? Was it that Oregon win, or when did you know, oh, you know what, we're working on something kind of special here?
I don't know if I've ever looked at it like that. You know, we're kind of, we had a game early in the year where we could have lost the game. We won at BYU, and on Saturday. We came back on Sunday. It took us a while to get back from Salt Lake City. And then because we traveled on Sunday, we had to take Monday off. That's such a long trip. And then we practice on Tuesday, play Wednesday night against Rio Grande Valley. And that game came down to the last minute. So we could have easily lost that one, but we found a way to win it. You know, we played LSU in December. We're down 15 in that game, came back and won it. We're down 10 at Utah against Utah State, came back and won it. We're down early against St. Louis, came back and won it. And, we just kind of kept getting better and better and better. Once we got to conference, we played well on the road, winning at Tulsa, winning at SMU, winning at South Florida against those teams. And those games kind of bleed into each other. I don't know if I ever sat back and said we're working on something special, but I think that's the key to our team is that you know, as soon as the game is over, you know, we have our routines and rituals that we like to do, and then we just get ready for the next game. You know, Cincinnati was a big game, but for us, Connecticut's a big game. You know, that's our next game, and we've always established that the most important game on our schedule will be the next game. While a lot of people around, you know, we've got a lot more fans now. I'm doing a lot more interviews. People are paying attention to us nationally, but you know, inside the cocoon, you know, we've got to get better. We've got to get better at our pick and roll defense, our transition defense. The ball got stuck a little bit on one side too much against Cincinnati. So we watch film, we take notes, we go to the practice court, we get better. We leave tomorrow to head up to Hartford, Connecticut, get ready for Connecticut. And I know that sounds like there's nothing exciting there, but that's kind of who we are.
Coach, talk about that. You talk about the fans, right? And when you took this, and I don't want to say you brought it from the ashes, the program, because there is a history, but it's ancient history, going back to Phi Slam Majama. But when you took this job, you had a problem with getting the fans reengaged. It was a quote-unquote football school. The facility was a little bit outdated. You got the practice facility first. Then you got the Fertitta Center and how everything's come together. When you took the job, you knew it was going to be a hill to climb or a mountain. But, boy, I'll tell you what, the speed and the rate in which you have climbed that mountain, the fans are back, the beautiful facility, and the team is obviously living up to the billing. It has to have really made you very, very happy to see the progress and how quickly it was made.
Well, let's go back to when we first came over here. The thing that jumped out at me was the apathy from the top down. Nobody cared about basketball. You know, I made a statement that I don't know why they were firing coaches. You had no facilities. Nobody marketed basketball. You know, they hired a coach. 4 years later, they fired him. I hired another one. 4 years later, they fired him, and nothing changed. So when I came over here, I had to make sure that was not going to be the case. You know, it's said, look, you have to change your attitude about basketball. You know, look at the state. You know, look at Baylor, A&M, Texas Tech. Texas, go up north, you got Oklahoma State. We're going to be recruiting the same kids that those schools are recruiting. When they come on campus, I know exactly what Oklahoma has. I know what Texas has. I was in the league with those schools for 12 years. You know, recruiting is a competition. And Houston was at a huge, huge competitive disadvantage. I didn't even get why fans were complaining about the team. You know, why are you complaining? They shouldn't have won. I was amazed that James Dickey did as good as he did. You know, he did a great job here, but he just didn't have any support. You know, every school in the league was chartering. All the top schools charter. All the top schools have beautiful practice facilities. All the top schools have tremendous home court advantages with great fans. Houston had none of that. So that's where we had to start. You know, and I don't forget that. I remember where we came from. You know, a lot of people that are jumping on bandwagon now, we appreciate them, and I hope they keep coming. But I'll never lose sight of the fact how hard it was just to get the attitudes changed and get people to support basketball on this campus. And that's where it started for us.
Hey, Coach, this is the highest that the program has been ranked since the Phi Slam Majama days. I mean, being number 9 in the country right now is outstanding. Do you try to use some of that history of the Phi Slam Majama? Because you talked about the fact how, you know, it was at a low point.
No, our kids were born in 2000 or 1998, 99. They never heard of Phi Slam Majama. They don't even know what you're talking about. You know, I have to introduce Elvin Hayes to them, and I did a little video montage of Elvin Hayes so they understand the greatest player to history in this school is Elvin Hayes. One of the greatest college players ever is Elvin Hayes. You know, these kids think, you know, the players that are playing now. So when you talk about Phi Slam Majama, you'd have to, you know, they'd have to Google it. You know, they don't know. So for these guys, they live in their generation. You know, the greatest player of their generation is LeBron James. You know, they argue that Michael Jordan wasn't that good because all they've seen of him is YouTube. So history really has nothing to do with the current generation. I make sure they understand the history of our school, which started with Elvin Hayes and Coach Lewis and Don Chaney and all those guys. And then you went into the 80s with Phi Slamma Jamma. Then you went into the late 80s. You know, Houston is a lot more than just Phi Slamma Jamma. It has a great basketball tradition. Now, Coach Lewis won here a long time, was winning way before Phi Slamma Jamma. And when we've had some really good players after that. But as far as the history and how these kids relate to it, they don't.
Coach, you're a marketing guy. I know you need to remind him that that brand Jordan guy is on the tongue of their shoes. They can't be poo-pooing on that guy now because that's a big deal.
They don't poo-poo. Now, they understand that Michael Jordan, but you got to understand, Nate Hinton's 18 years old. We're in 2019.
Sure.
So, you know, they know what they know. We were on a road trip the other day, and we were sitting down at a meal. I think it was at SMU or somewhere, and they were talking about they want to know who is Will Chamberlain. And I said,
"Oh my gosh!"
I said, "Elvin, who is better, Will Chamberlain or Shaquille O'Neal?" And you know, of course, they think Shaq's the greatest center ever. And Elvin says, "Not even close. Will Chamberlain was better." And so Elvin had to educate them on Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
But why should they know who Wilt Chamberlain is? The only way they would know is to Google his name.
Right, but it's a history lesson built in. You say that with the traveling and everything like that, you guys, and that's obviously a tight-knit bunch. It just gets me to the tournament. And I'm not worried about seeding with you guys, but I'm worrying about I texted you right after the game last year against Michigan about a heartbreaker because I knew you guys had that game won. But with the guys that returned, how big of a motivating factor is, hey, they got their feet wet and they kind of let one get away to kind of work throughout the program, the tight-knit bunch, the youngsters coming in, and make everybody understand, hey, we can do something here, but we've got unfinished business from years past. We need to keep the momentum rolling. This is a big deal.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody mention it. I know I haven't. I think you live in the moment, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff looks good on paper, and it reads well. It sounds good, but you know, Michigan's best players play is in the NBA, and our best players in the G League. You know, our second best players in the G League as well. The players coming back, you know, I think they. You know, we talk to our kids about living in the moment. You know, stay in the moment. So what happened last year is last year. Again, you know, we have four players, Sed Alley, Nate Hinton, Bryson Gresham, and Dejan Giroux, that have never played in an NCAA tournament. So talking about Michigan or any of that, I don't know how that applies to what we're doing.
Well, I love what you're doing, and I couldn't be happier for you. And I know it's a family affair. You got your family involved, which is fantastic. And I just wish you all the success in the world, and I appreciate you spending some time with us. We look forward to doing it again as you guys make this run.
Joel and Barry, good to be on with you guys. Anytime, thanks for having me on.
There you go. Coach Kelvin Sampson of the Cougars. You can follow him at Coach Sampson, U of H. Always great to have him on the program. And always easy to talk to. That dude knows what he is doing. He's done it for a long time. Hey, speaking of those people that know what they're doing, right now before we head to the break, I want to tell you about Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing, if you're looking for a roofing company here in the Houston area and you don't want storm chasers, deposit thieves, sketchy roofers, people that are going to do a great job, use a quality product, and do it with customer service throughout the process, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about Fitz. Fitz is a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get this status. They got it. You need it. That's why you call them. They use the CertainTeed shingles, so you're getting the best shingles in the business, and their base warranties are longer than the average roofer can offer you, and they go from there. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor, and the most important thing is you get a free no-obligation inspection just by getting in touch with them. You can either go to fitzroofing.com or you can call them at 832-521-3001. Set up a free no-obligation inspection. They come to you, they tell you what they can do, and then you decide if you want them to do the work. It's just the way they do business. They are dedicated to Houston and the people of it, and they want to make a difference for you. They also have a nonprofit where it's Fitz for Families. 10% of all their profits goes back to the community. So again, just another way they show you they are dedicated to H-Town. Call them today, 832-521-3001, or check them out online. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.